This morning we want to use an illustration that I hope you will repeat throughout the week and throughout the month and throughout the year. It'll serve you, I believe, to help clarify what we are celebrating today in the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God, as you know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we want to remember what it is that enables us to live in this world that God has created for us. I want to use the illustration of a creator or a manufacturer or an inventor, somebody who has created an engine. Now, the person that has designed it and put it together knows what needs to be used to make it run. If he wants it to be a kerosene engine, he'll build it a certain way. If he wants it to be a gasoline engine, he'll build it a certain way. If he wants it to run on grape juice, he'll build it to run on grape juice. Whatever he designed it to be, you need to use that fuel to make it run properly. If you try to make a gasoline engine run on kerosene, you won't get very far. You might get a sputter or two, but nothing that'll make it run smoothly. So you have to use whatever the creator or designer has made it to run on. Now, the same thing is true. God, the creator, God who created you and me, God who has made us, has designed us to run on something. Not gasoline or kerosene or water, although I like the idea of water, by the way. God loves water. It's just amazing to me how much water there is in the human being, how much water there is on earth, how much water there is above the earth. There are actually lakes of water in the sky as they bring rainstorms to us. Or, as you know, if you've ever been in a cave, way down deep in the ground and the earth under us are rivers. Rivers of water. There's water everywhere. I don't completely understand why God loves water so much and all the oceans. It's amazing. Maybe someday when we get to heaven, there will be an answer to that. I don't know what it might be. But if you were to say the human being runs on water, that would be a fairly accurate statement. We have to have water. One of the major problems with the health in America and obesity is that we don't drink enough water. I think you're supposed to have like 8 glasses of water a day. I don't think I average even 2. I'd be surprised if I average 2, which is very harmful. I'm not recommending that. We should drink a lot of water. Stay hydrated. One thing it tells me is that if a person tries to use alcohol or hard liquor, you're not going to run very well. God didn't design you to live on that. And if you're trying to, you're an alcoholic or something like that, you will pay a price for that. You won't function properly. You'll get cirrhosis of the liver or something like that. On the other hand, kids, listen up. You know, the government's even talking about this now. God forbid that happens, but it's happening, and now they're going to control the amount of sugar. Diet drinks and all that. Well, if you're drinking that instead of water, you're going to have diabetes. How many here have diabetes? Hold up your hands. Oh, come on. It should be half the human population. Aren't we normal in here? Diabetes. Well, that's kind of a sidetrack there when I got into water there. But let's get back to the main theme. God created us to run on Him, on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There are 9 of them listed there. 9 of them. Galatians, the 5th chapter. We're only going to talk about 3 this morning. We'll save the other 6. As a matter of fact, I modified one of those. I'm taking patience this morning and calling it hope. You need hope. We are kind of in a hopeless situation in the state of Wisconsin. We're in a hopeless situation in the world economy. Anyone watching the market the last 3-4 weeks knows that's kind of a hopeless thing. If you are trying to get hope from the economy, if you're trying to get hope from whoever is going to be elected in the next election, if you're trying to get hope by whatever happens in Wisconsin on the 5th, if you're trying to get hope from any other source but God, you're hopeless. You're hopeless. No one has to prove that to you. It's a mess. That's the way God describes the world around us, a sinful mess on the road to damnation. It's not a fun joy ride. It's a mess. It's a cesspool. And if your hope is going to try to come from that, you will be hopeless. Just like a gasoline engine trying to run on kerosene. It doesn't work. And so you're depressed and you're discouraged and you wonder what's wrong. Everything is wrong. You can't trust the government. You can't trust the economy. You can't trust the health business. There's just a hopeless end of confusion. Until the God who designed us, created us, and made us run on him, you turn to God for hope, and you're going to find hope. That's where you find hope. That's the only source of genuine hope. Because your God, who has created you and me, says, I will take care of you. Turn to me. Seek your help from me, and I will deliver you. I will be with you. I will help you. That's where you get hope, the hope that is lasting. Take any of these gifts that God offers to his people. Take joy, for instance. People want to be happy. Will you find a lasting joy in another human being? No, not possible. God didn't design you to operate that way. Will you find joy from your business? No. God didn't put you together so that you'd find joy from your business. Where are you going to find joy? Riding a roller coaster. You can't ride a roller coaster all your life. In fact, some people don't even like that. They'd sooner go around instead of up and down. Did you know that? I could take a second here to prove that. How many of you like to go around, hands, in a circle? How many of you like to go up and down? There you go, see? You're not going to get joy out of your life by going up and down or around because God didn't design us that way. Here's the source. God is the source of all joy. That's the only source of real joy. Why was it that the apostles, when they were in prison, could be in jail, singing songs of praise to God? They were happy while they were prisoners. You don't find that joy in the world. That has to come from God. God designed us to operate that way. And when we turn to him for our source, for those gifts, he gives them to us, and we experience joy. The old German Lutheran church used to have in their blessing, the joy which passes all understanding. It's not logical, it's spiritual. The joy which you can have even in bereavement when God comforts you and strengthens you, that comes from God. And that's the only way you're going to operate with true joy if it's a spiritual joy. You can take every one of these gifts, all 9 of them, and go through them one by one, and you'll find the same thing is true. You try some other source, it's not going to work. We'll take the 3rd one this morning. Take love. Love. You know, there are 3 words in the Greek language. I preached on this a couple years ago. I hope you even remember parts of that. which distinguish the different types of joy. There are two kinds of, of love. There are two kinds of love that you don't even have to be a Christian for. Did you know that? You can love without being a Christian. The Mohammedans can love. There are all kinds of people that can love that don't even know Jesus Christ. But it's not a genuine love. It's not a love that is going to sustain you. It's a worldly love. It's a getting love. The world only knows getting love. Getting love. As a matter of fact, you can take all the abuses of love. Take divorce. Take separation. Take all the adulteries. Take all the fornication. That's all. You don't have to be a Christian to do those things. Anyone in the world can say that's love. In fact, you want to talk about sinful love. Talk about pornography. Talk about any type of filthy love the world would know about. But when God is talking to his children, his people, whom he has brought into his kingdom, that type of love is not what sustains us or we operate on. That's a worldly thing. There's another type of love called shared love. As a matter of fact, the world knows something about that too. Two people get together. I'll treat you right, you treat me right, and we won't harm each other. That's shared love. You don't have to be a Christian to do that. You can have love. I'll love you. Don't hurt me. I won't hurt you. Blah, 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 blah. You can go a while, but not long before that wears very thin, because that's not a lasting love. That's a sharing love. The minute you get to the point where you don't feel like sharing anymore, it's done. Now, that's not the love that God provides. God didn't make us to run on that kind of love. We sputter around and we wonder what's wrong. How come things aren't going well? Well, it's like a gasoline engine trying to be run on grape juice. You can't do it. The love that God offers, the filling of the Holy Spirit, the love that God offers is not a getting love. It's not even a sharing love. Now get this. It's a giving love. A giving love. Isn't that a shock? Did you know that's the only kind of true love? People wonder why they're falling out of love in marriages, why things aren't going well with their children. It's because they're not operating on genuine love. Only God can provide a genuine love, a giving love. A giving love that is so beyond comprehension that its source can only be God. God enables you to give. What a fantastic subject that is if you want to talk about stewardship. You want to talk about giving offerings? There's your answer. The average person who doesn't know Christ doesn't even begin to understand giving back to God what God has given to them. They don't understand giving. But when a person comes to God and says, God, create in me such a love that I will love this child that is rebelling in our house. That I will love the unlovable. When someone has sinned against you, how do you forgive them? You can't, can you? Unless you have the power of God, unless you know his forgiveness, you won't be able to forgive somebody else. Theoretically, you can talk about forgiveness a long time, doctrinally even, but you'll never understand love until you begin to give love. Give love. That's true love. That's true love. So the point I'm trying to make this morning, if your life is running unsmoothly, the engine is choking out and everything seems to be confused and messed up, you need to turn to God. You need to ask him to fill you with hope, fill you with joy, fill you with love. The only source, the one who has created us, who has made us to run on himself. If you're trying to run on anything else, worldly, earthly, anything else, humanly, it will not work. God is the source. God has designed us to run on him. Do you think you can remember that? Say that with me, everybody. God has designed us to run on him. Okay, now you heard it. Now let's say it. God has designed us to run on him. Turn to him. Seek his power. Seek his gift of the Holy Spirit, and you will function properly the way you were made to function. Amen.